Hey, welcome to the More Than Money podcast. This is Chris Burns. Hope you're having a great week. Nerd moment for the day. What is the leading cause of stress in relationships? What's the leading cause of stress in relationships? You could probably guess this is a gimme. It's money. And that goes along with our topic for the day. But yeah, SunTrust Bank, our hometown bank here, did a study showing 35% of respondents to this study said that if they're experiencing stress in their relationship, friction in the relationship, it was due to money and finances. That number jumped up. Folks age 44 to 54, it was at 44%. So a third of everyone and almost half of folks age 44 to 54, money was the number one cause of stress and friction in the relationship. I know this doesn't apply to you. It certainly never applies to me. But for other folks out there who aren't as well-adjusted and mature, money can actually be a stressful topic. And that is what the show is about today. We're going to talk about how do you practically, tangibly make it through the trials of figuring out money in your relationship. And I'll give you a few tips. I'm going to put on the therapist hat because you know that's my strength. My mom is a therapist, so I'll draw on her strength and her wisdom here. But so many folks that come into my office are understandably, like all of us, dealing with stress here. And I would laugh at the SunTrust study because I'm thinking the other 70% of folks just lied. They just lied because money stresses almost everybody out at some point, and it certainly puts stress on a relationship. So how do you deal with that? We're going to dig into it today. If you have questions as you listen to the show, jump on my website. It's mylifeismore.com. You can ask anything. I will get back to you personally. Again, mylifeismore.com. And enjoy the show. Cause conflict. All right, we're going to talk quality of life for a second. Let's talk conflict, right? Because there's a reason I keep Kleenex in my office. Because often when people come in, anxiety and disagreements over money have ruined or taken their relationship to the brink, right? And when we come back to the root often, it's this conflict keeps coming up. Now, I'm not a marital counselor, and I'm not here to say, here's five tips for having a better marriage, but I'll tell you what, if you can figure out how to work together on this area, it's an incredible impact on your quality of life and the quality of your relationship, et cetera. So I have a few tips for you, but let me just share a small amount of my story here, just to say, sometimes people feel like when they walk in to sit down with someone like me, they feel shame. They don't really want to be honest about where they're at and where their finances are at and how it's impacting their relationship because they feel shame about that. So let's just dispense with the shame for a second, friends. Listen, my wife and I got married. I was 19 years old. I was a hippie when I got married. I don't know how I convinced her parents to say yes. It was some sort of Jedi mind trick, but my parents and her parents were okay with it. And we were college kids and we got married. We had two babies in school. So before we graduated from college, we had two babies, and somehow both of us graduated, and we were both working numerous jobs, but money was tight, as you can imagine. Some of you are there right now. Some of you remember fondly or not so fondly being there, right? Money was tight, and it was a lot of conflict, and I'll be honest, I had such a limited vision for this when I was in my first few years of marriage. I just didn't get it. I kind of had the mindset that if I was working hard, we would have enough money. And honestly, that's something that my parents I respect so deeply. My dad is a pastor, has been a pastor his whole life, and a professor. But one of the lessons I feel like they taught me was when we talked about jobs, money was never discussed. We talked about occupations, money was never discussed. So without it ever being said, what that spoke to me was every job is basically the same, and if you work hard, you'll have enough. And I came to find out after having two kids, that just might not be true always. It's not always true. Now, you can choose any job you want, but there is an impact to how much you get paid, right? I was a youth pastor, and I didn't make a lot of money, and my family was struggling, and I didn't even see it always because I was out working hard, doing my best, and it took us coming to the brink of financial ruin for my eyes to be open to this, for me to realize, oh, this might not work long term. because I just had this idealistic, I'm just going to go keep doing my best. All right. And that's not to say, again, that plenty of pastors do great, but I just, in our circumstances, and I'll never forget, my wife had a major, major medical issue. We were saddled with tons of medical debt, and we were just trying to get our minds around all the debt we had from this. We were literally living in my in-law's basement, where I'll never forget, we would turn on the toaster oven, and if you turn on the toaster oven, all the power in the basement would hurn, all the power would go out because you'd short it. I mean, it was, we kind of hit rock bottom. My wife was incredibly sick. We had two kids. I was just struggling to make it, and we were sitting there, and we were on the phone with a debt counselor, and the debt counselor looked at our situation and said, "Well, I think you guys should just declare bankruptcy." That was what she said to us. And that was kind of rock bottom for us. That was rock bottom for me. And it was at that moment that I realized I have a responsibility to figure this out to my family and to myself, et cetera. But it took us getting down to that. So do you think we had some conflict over finances? Yeah. Do I still have conflict over finances? Yeah. I do. And my guess is, as you sit right now, whether you're 25 or 55, you probably do too. And if you don't think you do, your spouse or partner disagrees with you. Okay? So let's talk about this for a second. Are there any practical... I have the one unique advantage that I get to sit down with people every day and talk about this stuff. And so you start to see patterns and you start to see trends about the way we're arguing. And my goal here, again, is not how can I build a healthy relationship 101. That's maybe beyond my league. But it is how can you work together on your finances? And I have just seen firsthand the impact of when you do that, it can lead to great things in your marriage over time. Okay, so, or your relationship, whatever relationship, you know, even if you're just dating somebody and you're trying to figure this out, how you handle money matters. All right, so a few practical thoughts on this, and I'm going to use some examples of folks that I work with. The first is, it's similar to what we talked about in the first half of the show, shining a light on what's actually going on. You have to start with clear data. How often have you and your spouse or your significant other argued over finances and you're yelling at each other, but neither of you actually knows the real situation? Think about football for a second. I'm a man. Think about football. All right. When there is a play in football and there's a disagreement over it, now we have this beautiful ability to review the play, right? And you see the referee, you know, go under the hood and watch the play over and over to get a clear call. Why? So there can be no disputing what goes on. Right now, there still is dispute sometimes. But most of the time, when you have that clarity of vision, you can watch the play in slow motion and see exactly what happened. Even if you just are a bad sport and you're arguing about it, everybody has to kind of agree, that is what happened. Whether we like it or not, we now have the data to see what happens. So one of the first things you can do to help if you're having a lot of arguments about money is start with clear data. So every client that comes in, we utilize a tool. It becomes their personal financial website where they can pull their entire financial world into this one personal site. And it's totally secure, A, and B, I can't see it unless you give me access to see it. So it's your site. We had a client that came in, and we're still a client that I work with, who has argued a lot over their finances, and this has become an invaluable thing for them because one feature of it is we get to pull all of the accounts into one place, your insurance, your debt, your banking information, everything's pulled into that, and that's kind of scary. Sometimes you don't want your partner to see all those things, but let's be honest, if you don't want them to see it, I don't know how far you're going to get in terms of really managing this conflict, okay? So it pulls everything in, so we're both looking at the same data. And then it has a budgeting tool that's kind of like Quicken on steroids where we can classify all the different expenses. So this couple has been arguing for years over why is it we feel like we never have money in our account. To quote Dave Ramsey, I don't always agree with Dave on everything, but one thing I love that he said that he quoted somebody else on way back, this may even go back to Larry Burkett and Crown Financial and all that stuff, was tell your money where to go or you'll wonder where it went. Well, this couple keeps wondering where it went every month because they have no clear view of where it went. Maybe you're in the same situation. So they were able to take this tool now, and because it pulls every single transaction in and we classify every transaction, we can see it all now. And here's the secret. Sometimes there is no one place where it went. Here's the grand secret. The emperor has no clothes, right? Sometimes there isn't just an easy narrative, an easy explanation for this. I want to explain that for a second. If you're just joining us, this is Chris Burns. You're listening to More Than Money. We're talking about conflict over finances. How do you solve that? How do you actually move forward and begin working together with your partner on finances? And one of the ways we do that is through clear data. If you missed any part of the show, go to my website. It's mylifeismore.com. You can ask questions, listen to past shows. Again, mylifeismore.com. So sometimes the emperor has no clothes here. Just like when the market drops and all of financial media immediately tries to give some rational, reasonable explanation for that. It's like, well, we all know that inflation was coming and so the market was dropping. When in reality, there may not be an easy explanation for why that happened. The same thing with your finances. I think this couple had thought there is one of us went and spent a ton of money on something, and that's why we didn't have money. And so they started accusing each other. Well, you must have done this, and you must have done this. And when we pull all the transactions up and go through each one individually, what we find is it's a whole lot of small stuff. There wasn't a narrative here. There wasn't one person who was doing it. They were doing it together, and they were blaming each other constantly, month after month after month, and it was eroding their marriage and their partnership. Why? Because they want the other person to be responsible. What the data showed us when we could actually look at it together was, oh, this is us. This is not one or the other. It's not that one of us spent $10,000 and the other didn't or something. It's all us. Okay, so sometimes that's not the case, right? Sometimes this is a scary thing to do because you know it's you. You know that you're spending out of control and that it's hurting the relationship. That's a whole different issue. But a lot of times, I've seen it, as with this couple, it's not one or the other person just doing something terrible. We've just developed a system. How do we change that? So the first is we start with clear data, and man, this website allows you to do that. Now, the second thing I've noticed working with couples is technology can help with step one here, right? We can use a website that's yours to really classify everything, to be on the same page, to make sure we're tracking things together. But the second thing that I've seen have the most impact is compromise. Now, that is nothing that technology can do, right? And man, again, could I talk about stories of how learning how to compromise? But what I've noticed is most people that I work with, the husband and wife, the spouses are usually very different and have very different feels about money. I had a client in recently, and this was hilarious. He was talking about money and he was kind of like, well, you know, I might be a little more risk averse and my wife is a little more of a risk taker, and he can't see her because she's kind of sitting behind him a little bit. She's leaned back in her chair and she just stretches her arms out as wide as possible and nods vigorously like, yes, we're as far apart as you could ever be on this issue. And I just laughed because that's not abnormal. Right? Maybe you feel that as you think about your relationship with your spouse. You kind of land on one side of the spectrum when it comes to, should we take risk? How much should we save? How aggressive should our investing be? And your spouse thinks very differently than that. And compromise is key here. You have to enter this with the idea that I am not right. That often with this, there is not a right or a wrong. It's an issue of how can we partner in it. And if you're struggling with this, let me tell you an example of what I saw this very couple do. Okay, so the same couple where the wife had spread her arms out wide. Yes, we're so far apart. The technology helped them to compromise, but they had to come to it. Here's how it helped them. When we did income planning, and they're very close to retirement, it showed that they were actually in a really healthy place. And he had had a lot of anxiety for a long time about, were they actually going to be okay? And suddenly he's looking at all these different scenarios showing, yeah, we're going to be okay. Even if inflation jumps up, even if one of us passes away, we have the resources to do this. And his wife is sitting there watching this, and she kind of taps him and says, see? See, we're going to be all right. But on the one hand, she was very grateful that he'd been so conservative and so aggressive in saving over time and thinking about their future. But she made this remark. She said, now, can we at least eat out once a week? And they're just playing this out in front of me. Can we at least eat out once a week? In other words, there had been maybe very little compromise to this point. And now she's saying, look, I'm ready to enjoy this. We're in a good position. You did a good job leading us to this position, but it's time for some compromise here. And they did. And they are, because they're in a position to do that. But again, the reason that they'd had a hard time compromising was that they hadn't been able to look together objectively at the data and feel less anxiety about the situation. And this goes back to the beginning of the show again. So much anxiety is living in the dark and not knowing, not shining a light to see, are we going to be okay? And a lot of the conflict that I see couples walk in with is simply not knowing. Again, it feels like we're not going to be all right. And it feels like the other person might be doing something terrible here, or they're the ones ruining our situation, et cetera. And when we can show objectively, here's where you're actually at, now we can find compromise. So if this is an issue for you, if you see constant regular conflict, look, we can bring technology and advice and planning to the table to show you exactly what's going on and have you both see the same situation. You have to bring the willingness to dig into that and the willingness to compromise. But I've seen so many couples do this, and it really helps. It certainly helped me as I've figured this out with my wife, as we've had conflict over conflict, to start just applying this to our marriage. And I know so many clients I work with, this is the reality, whether they want to talk about it, want to admit it or not, and I've seen how this can be helpful. So if you want to do that, come on, mylifeismore.com. You can sign up for a free consultation with me, Chris Burns, and we're not scared of your conflict. We're not scared of the challenges you bring to the table. It's what I deal with clients every single day, and I can't even begin to tell you how many people I've worked with where I've seen them be able to talk in a way they've never talked before just by bringing this to the table and having these conversations, and it's an amazing thing. Again, mylifeismore.com.